drafting process. It was, from my standpoint, if the committee wished to limit it to drug, to felonies, I'd have no objection. It was simpler, it seemed to me, to designate the statutes that defined all controlled substance violations as a drafting matter than it was to try and parse out from those statutes the many variations and permutations which define what a felony drug offense was. But I have no objection if the committee wishes to change that.
I'm sure, because some of these things, I mean, for example, the mobile tracking device, I don't know if I see that as much of an intrusion, but the phone calls, recording everybody's phone calls regardless, in a way, some of this is a, well, I have less comfort with this in a way than any of the other bills that we've discussed, I must say. This one, everything is going kind of smoothly, and suddenly this thing is fairly bothersome. Maybe it's because of the, it covers a range of devices. The mobile tracking devices, they don't have much problem with, but the others, I have to say, it's sort of the kind of a, sort of a dragnet kind of a thing with the device for the phone calls coming in and out and those kind of things. So that's some you, well, thank you.
Thank you. Are there other questions from committee members? Dale?
My name is Dale Penn. I'm representing the Oregon District Attorney Association in support of 2469. Much of this was in response to Senator Springer's invitation, actually, during the interim committee, that we needed to draft some bill to deal with the federal law changes in the area of electronic communications. I would simply state that the trap and trace device and the PIN register are areas that were utilized in law enforcement up until this October. They were used primarily in narcotics cases, and it's very similar to sitting outside someone's house and putting down the license numbers of every car that drives up. It gives you a telephone number of a person who has made a call in or been called out. And what it's really utilized is to try to find patterns and repetitive calls and that type of thing. It doesn't provide probable cause to mean that we can go and search that person's house. It may be an investigative lead that this is, particularly when you have repetitive over and over, or if you tie it to a sale or that type of thing, then it has significance in developing a conspiracy case, where the sources are, where the narcotics or the money is coming from, and that's how it's been utilized. With the change,
Dale, what then? All I've heard is talk about narcotics cases, and I guess I don't have as much problem with that. Tell me what else you're going to use this for eventually, down the line.
Madam Chair, primarily this is for narcotics. There are other cases we've used it in murder investigations, and particularly murder for hire. Frequently in narcotics cases, it comes up that someone wants someone murdered, and informants for narcotics buys end up being people solicited to kill people. And so we've seen it in that kind of case myself. Other than those two kinds of cases, I couldn't tell you where it's been utilized, but there was no prohibition and it was freely open, and that's where we usually saw it used, was in those two types of cases.
What about a bookie?
A bookie?
I'm sure you said now that there were, It has been used before until now, or not?
Yes, Madam Chair and Senator Hill, because 2 years ago Congress passed an act which was to regulate electronic communications. And in doing so, they stated if a state does not exempt this type of activity, then it can't be done. And so that's what this vehicle is 2469 is our attempt to allow Oregon to exempt it so it can be used again in the future as it has been in the past.
And the point that Senator Shoemaker was going after, and there are some instances where you don't need a warrant or a court order to do these?
It's my understanding that Senator Hill, in the PIN register and in the track and trace device, there is no requirement for court order. There was none in the past.
Senator Cohen, Senator Hill, actually, there are always, under the federal law, one cannot use those devices in any category of offense without a court order. And the federal law now provides that unless the state has a mechanism for issuing such state court orders, that the state officers may not use such devices.
So you do need a court order.
We do need a court order in every instance.
Where does it say so in the bill, or does it?
Where does it say that one needs a court order to use a trap and trace or pen register device? That is in
Section 18.
Is it implied, perhaps?
That's correct. And one needs to know that the federal statute says that no person shall intercept or shall use these devices unless they have obtained an order issued by a court of competent jurisdiction. And the problem is that Oregon courts are not courts of competent jurisdiction now because they lack the statutory authority to issue such orders.
Now, I guess I want to ask you, if someone, for these, pen and whatever they are. And
trap and trace.
Trap and trace. Do you end up making a list of people that call? This is what I'm kind of.
Senator Cohen, Senator Hill, what I can tell you how it's, I should say it's possible to do so, because one could obtain a grand jury subpoena to find out who was the subscriber at a particular telephone number. As a practical matter, what happens, and what I've used these for, is that you make a list of the frequency with which particular numbers are called or which call into the targeted telephone. And then you decide for yourself, we're only going to spend time on the ones that call umpteen jillion times, or that call within a particular time that we know about in the context of the investigation, such as the time of a delivery or a request for a delivery. So that the answer to your question is theoretically yes, one could generate a list of everyone who called or who was called, but of practicality, no.
Senator Brockman.
Do you need to physically put something in the instrument, or can it be done through the telephone company?
Senator Cohen, Senator Brockman, these are not, they require no physical intrusion into the.
So you don't need to enter the premises at all?
That's correct. Okay. They're like a wiretap in that they're attached at the telephone company's central switching office.
Section 19, Mr. Shepherd, is true, isn't it, that the way it's the statute or the language is written that you have, that there's no requirement of probable cause or even reasonable suspicion?
That's correct. Mr. Morris, the language in the statute follows exactly the language of the federal act in this regard. And again, I would indicate to the committee that it would be lawful for the committee under the federal act to require some showing in excess of what's required under the federal act. The federal act requires no showing at all as it presently stands. I might say that my advice to a police officer is that they would be ill-advised to proceed unless they could demonstrate at least reasonable suspicion. And probably I would require police officers to show probable cause.
And to follow up on that language in line 30 is also somewhat unusual in the directive to the court is mandatory. It says the court shall issue.
Madam Chair, Mr. Morris, I don't know. I wouldn't characterize that as being unusual. There are lots of things that courts are required to do upon appropriate showing. But again, that's the language of the federal act.
If the court finds.
Assuming, of course, that the factual predicate for the order is present, then the court shall issue the order.
Yeah, but if you don't have to do any
anything.
Well, I think, Senator, there are requirements as to what one must show, and they're specified in lines 34 and the following lines.
Lines 34, where? I'm sorry.
On page 10, lines 34 and following, there are requirements for what the police officer must set forth.
That such information will be relevant to an ongoing criminal investigation.
And further, that it contain the application must contain the information necessary for the court to issue the order, and that's in lines 34 and following. And specification of the telephone number and so forth.
You're right. There are lots of, yeah, lots of if no.
If no. Bunches of if no.
Yeah. Anything else? Dale, you had your turn on this one? Yes, you have. Yeah. Okay.
I think I have to go to the labor man.
Let's hear from Steve Anderson and Rob Olson. Come on up. And Steve, come on up first. And then those are the last two witnesses on this bill, and then we'll hear from Rosanna.
Steve Anderson with the Oregon Criminal Defense Lawyers again. I've submitted written testimony, which is entitled House Bill 2469, and it's by Michael Curtis, Oregon Criminal Defense Lawyers Association. I don't do that out of any disrespect for this committee. Mr. Curtis testified before the House Judiciary Committee, and they did respond to some of his suggestions in amending the bill. But he was the person that tried the Campbell case, and that is the reason that I thought it was appropriate just to leave his testimony intact. I would start out by saying that I share, and I'm sure all of our members share, many of the concerns that you've all been raising in the last few moments. This bill does paint with a very broad brush, and in Oregon, we've oftentimes been proud of the fact that we offer more protection under our Constitution than under the federal Constitution, and in mimicking the federal law in so many ways, I think it takes this bill perhaps further than you want to go. I want to just hit the highlights of some of the earlier portions of the written testimony. Although this bill is a response to State versus Campbell, we believe that it's a very flawed response and that it does not hammer down specifics enough. And for the sake of time, I'll just suggest some of the conceptual amendments that are suggested on page 2. One, a properly warranted mobile tracking device may be attached in a public place without further order of the issuing court. Two, a properly warranted mobile tracking device may be attached on private premises if the officers are on those premises executing a valid search warrant. In other words, the concern is that if the officers just want to plant the tracking device, under this bill, what standards do they have to meet? If it's parked in a public parking lot, that's one thing, but if automobile is elsewhere, it seems that there should be more specific guidance offered. And three, a properly warranted mobile tracking device may be attached on private unlocked premises if the issuing magistrate, based on the affidavit for search warrant, makes an explicit finding of necessity to enter private premises for the attachment. The second concern is that the record of the search is not very specific. We believe that at a minimum, the record should include dates and times when they searched, a precise description of the transmitter, and location of the surveillance from which it was conducted. Finally, as to the receipt, the bill suggests within 90 days of execution of the warrant, and we would suggest that that is a grossly overlong period of time, and that it should be reduced substantially. In the written testimony, we suggest 48 hours. Just in closing, I would like to say that we would like to work with you on this bill, and that Mr. Curtis would be available for that purpose. To some extent, I feel I have to defer. I don't have all the background that he does.
Thank you. We appreciate other questions. Thank you very much. Rob Olson.
Senator Cohen, members of the committee, again, my name is Rob Olson. I represent the Eugene Department of Public Safety.
Just a couple of quick words about the bird dog tracking device. First of all, this is a device that's utilized to monitor the movements of vehicles on public highways, and it's just a way of enabling us, in case we lose visual surveillance of that vehicle, to try to find it again. And oftentimes that's an officer safety issue, where officers may be riding in an undercover capacity with a crook, as it were, and we've lost track of where they are, and we've utilized the bird dog on the suspect's vehicle to find them again, and that is a very certain concern for us in terms of officer safety. The recent court decision makes its use impossible given the search warrant requirement, and my only concern is that this committee doesn't have the power to go further than this bill allows. In regards to the other issues contained within this bill, there are a couple of points. First of all, I think one of the reasons that it's not just felony investigations is, for example, the crime of harassment, where the victim is getting the harassing phone calls. The trap and trace device is an effective tool to try to determine who the suspect is that's making those kinds of calls. Secondly, the information that comes from something like a pen register, where we're trying to determine the calls that are being made by the suspect from his phone, is information that's obtainable at a later date by going to the phone company with a subpoena anyway, and all we're trying to do is get it at a quicker pace, and it's a much less intrusive invasion than something like a wiretap, where we're actually listening to the conversations. All we're trying to determine is who for example, the source of supply is, or where the money's going, things of that nature. There are other crimes that I can envision besides narcotics investigations and the harassment.
Okay.
Conspiratorial crimes like burglary, things of that nature.
Thank you. Rosanna?
Senator Cohen and committee members, my name is Rosanna Creighton, Executive Director of Citizens for a Drug-Free Oregon, and I thank Senator Cohen for allowing me to speak up on House Bill 2252. My timing was very poor, and I must have left just as you got to me. I just wanted to say for the record that House Bill 2252 is identical to a bill of ours that is on our legislative agenda. We support it wholeheartedly, and we hope that this committee will pass it. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Rosanna, for coming in, for waiting. Mm-hmm. We appreciate it. We are adjourned.
Senator, may I just say something about 2469? I sort of a little quandary here about at least some of the things here. Not so much about the mobile tracking device or the bird dog, but the others. I want to make sure that we keep up with the latest technology and we're able to monitor calls that are made on devices like these as well as telephones, but it seems as though it should have the same protections there as you have for like 2191. I mean, that it be limited at least to felonies or something like that. It just seems very broad, and I guess what I'm saying, it seems like this bill means a lot of work. And if we want to keep up with what's going on with the latest technology so it can be supportive, it just seems as though because we move to some greater technology that all of a sudden we've loosened things up quite a bit. And I would like to have law enforcement have all the tools, but I want the protections to be narrow as well. So that would be kind of...
Thank you. I think Jack's taken into account your comments, and we'll work it through and see where we can get. I do think that it would be useful to look at the extent to which one can agree without adopting the federal language. And I think there are plenty of opportunities to do that, from what I gather. We're adjourned until 8 in the morning, folks. Tuesday morning, 8 o'clock.